Lord, we just soften our hearts, God, and we ask that your Spirit would continue to move in this place, that you would open our eyes, as your word says, to the understanding of your law and of your word, God. Lord, open our hearts to see the things that you want us to see, Lord, to move in the direction that you want us to move. Lord, we surrender everything that we are in the desire to know you more. Lord, use us for your glory and open us to what your word says. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, today is part two in the series, Trekking with Abraham. And more specifically, what are you chasing? Life is all about what you are pursuing. We're all chasing after something, and that might be, you know, the typical things we think of, money, job, house, things, but it also could be travel, it could be family, rest, peace, joy. When you look at your life, what is it that defines the choices that you make? Because you can look at any choice and trace it back to what you are pursuing most. There was a point in my own life where I wanted two things as a very young man. I was trying to pursue God, but I was also trying to pursue basketball. We've got a few people that love sports here in the building. But, you know, in that time, I still went to church, read my Bible, I served. But every other choice in my life was for the game of basketball. And what I ate, no sugar, no caffeine, no unhealthy thing, a diet my wife still wishes I was on. And what I gave up was not just good-tasting food. I quit playing video games at the time. I quit a few other hobbies, mountain biking, hanging out with friends as much. But I had decided what I was chasing after. I was willing to sacrifice to see that happen. I threw myself into going to the gym. Again, something my wife wishes I was doing every day. Hallelujah. And even my job, I was a lifeguard at the time, like helped me to make a car payment so I could get to practice in other places. I had to swim laps there that kept me in better shape. I remember being so busy at one point that I had forgotten we had a quota of laps that we had to swim every month. And I saved it to like the last day. And I had to swim for 2 miles without stopping. And I got through it. It was afterwards I found out that you were allowed to use flotation devices and flippers. It was a long 2 miles. But I was chasing after the goal that I wanted. Every choice I made outside of my relationship with God reflected that. And there are many things in life at any time we need to be pursuing, such as family and provision and health, things that we do need. But all these are affected by the one thing you actually want most. And you are either blessed or you suffer because of that choice, whatever that thing is. Now, the good news here is that choice is the right choice, you not only receive the thing you're pursuing, but the other things around it too. And if that choice is, of course, as we know, the Lord. If he is first, then everything else falls into place behind that because he takes care of it. But if it is anything else, everything else could suffer. And I, at that time in my life, I did love the game of basketball, and I still love playing it. But I'll tell you this, I didn't let it come between the Lord and I. Instead, he used it to put me into a place that affected the people around me. And just last week, a schoolmate of mine reached out and said, "Thank you, you never knew, but the way you lived in high school affected my life." And I don't say that to boast except for in what God did. That the people you know, the people that see you, the people that are affected by your life are just that. They are affected by everything you do. So I ask you today, what are you chasing? What are you chasing? What is that thing you prioritize in your life that can sometimes even be over God? or what you have a hard time entrusting to God, because I want you to know that God has a promise for you to chase instead of anything else. And fulfillment comes from what God has created you for. I want to talk this morning about three things: tents, travels, and trees. Pretty easy to remember. Tents, travels, and trees. As we open to the book of Genesis in chapter 13, we find Abraham returning to the promised land after being in Egypt and after making some mistakes there. So Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to read that whole chapter. It's not very long. Feel free to follow along. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Amen. We're looking this morning at tents, travels, and trees. I want to first look at that point of tents. It's important to know that Abraham, or Abram in the passage, because his name has not been changed yet, was a nomad. He would break down and set up his tent at any given point, and he could move anytime he or the Lord wanted. And that speaks to me about the foundations and schedules that we sometimes set. I can tell you from experience, especially with kids, that I like things to be a certain way. Does anybody feel that way sometimes? That there can be a bedtime, a mealtime, a work time, and sometimes a God time even. But we can't get set into our own ways so much that we refuse to admit we need change. Someone was asking me some questions about ministry the other day, just this week. And I told them, you just have to be open to moving things around. Because you never know when someone is in need, something goes wrong, or when God just shows up. Are we truly open to what God wants to do? The thought that he chooses when to come, and that's usually not on my schedule. As Christians, we don't get to choose these things. It's not bad to have plans. In fact, we should plan to the best of our abilities. But if we're not careful, it can deter us from a move of God, because our plans and desires become more important than His. We have to remember that Abram is an example of Christianity in that he was called to pursue the promise that God had given him. But that promise would not be fully realized till after his death. And he knew that. And he was told that this place was not his home. And he had an inheritance that he would one day receive. So he didn't set up a city. He didn't lay foundations where he shouldn't. He had to be ready to go and do what God wanted him to do. I think sometimes we can get caught setting up our own cities, our own walls, our own plans, as if this place is where we will be forever. If this is our home. And even Proverbs says that a good man should leave something for his children's children. So that's not bad, but are you leaving them a promise of inheritance or a city whose foundations are built on the wrong things? Because a tent of promise results in a land of inheritance, while a foundation of a city results in ruin. Let's dig into that a little bit more. There is a parallel here of Babylon and Sodom. In chapter 10, a couple chapters before this, the people traveled east to a plain and built a city of wickedness called Babylon, after which God brings judgment on that place for their disobedience and ushers in the promise then to Abraham, or Abram, of salvation. And now we have Lot in our passage, who travels east to a plain towards another city known for its wickedness. And we know later that God brings judgment to that city as well. The only foundation we are to have is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. He is our rock. And when we build anything, we build a foundation other than that, it results in wickedness and destruction in our own lives. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Are you thankful we have built on the rock this morning? Abram was called to follow the promise, salvation, which is Jesus, he would later realize. But that is what he built his life on. The one thing you are pursuing most is what you are building your foundation on. Take a moment and think what that might be. Are you preoccupied with any other thing than Jesus? And it's easy to do so. Things can slip in. We can begin to put a worry for finances, a worry for our children, our family, our parents, a worry for direction, things that you don't like. So you dig in deeper and you begin to push the things that lead you toward Jesus aside. Where are you setting up your tent? We don't take a spiritual promise and want to build a physical kingdom. I'm going to say that again. We don't take a spiritual promise and expect to build a physical kingdom for ourselves, because our home is not of country and our possessions are not of world. We thirst for something greater because our portion is our Lord. And our joy is in all our sorrow because reward is worth the cost. Honor in our suffering because glory to the cross. Where we set up our tent matters because it shows where our heart is. And in verse 2, it says, Abram had lots of livestock. He had lots of silver and gold. You can be blessed when you follow the Lord. I think sometimes we forget that. You can be blessed when you follow the Lord because Abram didn't receive the fullness of the promise in his lifetime, but watch this. The path to promise is full of blessing. The path to promise is full of blessing. Surrendering your life to God doesn't mean you will set up a tent outside in the cold every night and not have anywhere. Because the God promises us several things. Basically, provision. He says you will always be provided for. But this means your heart is open to whatever God wants to do. Whatever move or thing he wants you to make. It means you're living a life, watch this, in posture of readiness to serve him. In posture of readiness to serve him. That is the Christian's life. A Christian in the spiritual realm is not someone who lies around in bed all day. It's someone who wakes up at the chance to serve his king and the king's people. You are a servant. Watch this, you are a spiritual first responder, and you're constantly looking for someone to help. And remember, Abram had just made some huge mistakes in Egypt. We went over that last week, and God used that to get him back on track. And in verse 3, it says he went on his journey. He didn't try to have a house and lay some foundations in his past mistakes or where he didn't belong. He owned those and he moved on to where he was meant to be. Church, don't be stuck paying rent in your head to a place that you aren't supposed to be anymore. You have moved on from there. That place does not define you anymore. And Abram's past says, watch this, that he was a lying, manipulating pimp. He had given his wife to someone. Thankfully, God protected her and him. But that was Abram's past. Abram's future comes knocking and says, it's time to move your tent. What are you chasing after? What are you letting shape your life? Because God has called you to promise. He hasn't called you to your past. And as Abram goes on his journey, he goes on as far as a place called Bethel, which means the house of God. And it was the place, it says, where his tent had been at the beginning. I was speaking with a friend earlier this week that told me he struggles day to day and week to week, but he was so thankful. He's not in the place he should be, but he's going that direction, that he always comes back because he knows God is where he belongs. He knows where his true home is. And no matter how far we feel, we are a moment away from being in the arms of the perfect Father. And Abram comes back to the place, the path, the trek that he had strayed from, back to the house of God, and he calls on the name of the Lord. And church, you can probably also remember those times, how good it feels to come back into the arms of God, to be accepted when maybe no one else would accept you. And that place will never fail you. Is that where you are setting up your tent? You can come back to what Revelation says, your first love. The first place we should go when we've messed up, when we have failed, is to worship God. We set up our tent in the presence of God, and that is how we get back on track. If you feel off track this morning, come back into the presence of God. When we know our tent is pitched in promise, we look then to the direction we're supposed to travel. Tents and travel. That's the second point. In verse 5, Lot also went with Abram. In verses 5 through 7 is conflict between the two men and their families, their herdsmen. And they handled conflict well. And that's an important point to look at. In our trek through life, we're going to have conflict. In church, we are going to have conflict. In our families and relationships, we are going to have conflict. In fact, conflict itself in these areas is not bad. There can be good conflict if you know how to do it right. And we shouldn't agree with everything that everyone says because you have your own opinions. And in fact, if you do agree with every single thing, you're probably being pushed around in a way that you shouldn't be. Because where there are two differing opinions and viewpoints, there is conflict, but there is also growth. And there is unity. And there is differing viewpoints that working together can make something better. If you can work together in these, you will probably be blessed by each other. And one of my favorite things about my wife, who is sitting on the front row, there's many things, but one of those is that she doesn't mind talking about stuff. She doesn't mind bringing up the things that I have issues with. Amen? All the wives are saying, amen? Yes. But Jesus is not done with me, so he's still working. But we talk about things together, and that is a blessing in our relationship. I have a friend that does not do that well. He does not conflict well, and he avoids all of it. And so he tells me all the time how often, I'm going to get real for a moment, how often he argues with his wife. And they never get anywhere because they avoid the roots, and they avoid the actual conflict. They never move forward. But watch this, both sides lose when there is no surrender and compromise. Because, watch this, it's not a fight till the death, it's a fight till there's life. Remember that. It's not a fight to the death, it's a fight till there is life. And you can move forward and you can grow together. And that could be in any relationship, not just a spousal relationship. That's family, that's friends, that is the church body. Can I get an amen for that? That is how we are to live as a church. We want to grow. We want to grow. And for growth to happen, there has to be some conflict. There has to be some things to push through. Jesus had a lot of conflict, and not just with the Pharisees or the people that didn't like him, but hard conversations with people he loved. If you truly love someone, you will be willing to have good conflict with them. And watch this, it resulted in both parties, Abram and Lot, entering into a place where they could both be better provided for. It's what they both needed. And check this out, in order for that to happen, one party had to humble themselves. Abram was the elder, the leader, probably richer, and he lets Lot choose the best of the land, trusting that God would still bless him. Even if someone else received what looks like is better or what even you think might be your promise. Do we want that for those around us? Let's get real again for a moment. Do you want what is absolutely best for the church body around you? And that is hard sometimes because all of us can look at things and think, I wish I had that. You have a broken car, a messed up house that needs work, whatever it is. It'd be nice to have some new things sometimes, amen? But do we want that for others as well? Do we pray that for others as well? In verse 8, Abram says to Lot, we are brethren. And they were. They were family. But we have to learn to get along with family, not just blood, but our Christian brothers and sisters. Abram had the right to do what he wanted. And this is going to get real. Just like we often have the right or feel like we are right in something, are you willing to be humble so that there can be no strife in the body of Christ? James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The promise of God for your life is not found in the proud ways that we can get there ourselves, but in the humility of letting God work. Letting God work. In verse 9, Abram asks Lot to separate. And sometimes for there to be unity, there has to be separation. And God knows that. And we're not talking about divorce here. I just want to make that clear because God hates divorce. But he allowed it in specific reasons because of the hardness of our own hearts. For infidelity, for abuse, for a person not willing to change, that's because of us. But he hates that. But we have to learn to travel through life well. Because as verse 7 mentions that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were in the land at that time, there are people watching how the children of God live and act. How you drive, how you work, how you rest. They are watching, and the blessing on your life for doing these things for the Lord, they are watching. We set up our tents in God's presence, and we learn to travel well through life by the way we live with each other in conflict well. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. We keep mentioning to set up our tent in God's presence. But what does that look like? As Lot and Abram separated, they wound up in two very different places. That's our third point today. Tent travels and trees. Lot lifted his eyes in verse 10 and saw the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered, like the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt. Lot chose the best land for himself. He chose what he thought was too tempting not to take. The grass was literally greener on the other side. He chose a place that also reminded him of his past. How good things looked in Egypt when they were just there. All the blessings that those people had. Or maybe how good he had it while he was there. And we are often tempted to go back to something that we've been brought out of. We will always be tempted by what we think is better. Or what we remember through rose-colored glasses about how good a place used to be. Or what feeling used to be that we want still. We can be tempted to go back to that feeling that we remember was good, but will lead us out of the will of God. And it says, Lot set up his tent as far as Sodom. It says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful. Church, how close to the line do we want to get? Sodom was just beyond the borders of the promised land. Coveting, lust, greed, desires that are not from God will place us right outside of the borders of God's promise. And we often live close enough still to see it or believe we are still in it. or that we can come back at any time. But Lot would eventually, watch this, lose part of his family to what he was chasing at that moment. And I want us to understand this. Lot would eventually make it back, but not all of his family would. Don't lose your family because you think you are strong enough to live with sin and not chase the promise of God. And I know that is heavy, but it doesn't end there. Because God says to Abram, lift your eyes. Lift them off of where someone else is and lift them on to all the things that God has in store for you. We can often wonder why we feel like someone else is getting blessed instead of us. But watch this. What Abram didn't know was that the blessing Lot chose was a blessing for Abraham, for Abram. Because the land that Lot chose would not be fruitful for long. Because while sometimes you have to walk through a land of temptation, God is not going to have you set up your tent in wickedness. In fact, the conflict earlier that we had mentioned was a blessing from the Lord because it removed Lot and set up Abram to receive the promise. Because get this, the promise was not for Lot. The promise was for Abram. Don't let someone else take your promise. What you feel like is a letdown or that you deserve something else could be that set up in the grace of God because God is working. And watch this. Remember this. Wherever you are, God is working. Not where you want to be, not where you think you'll get to, not only in the past, but where you are right now, God is working. So Abram lifted his eyes and saw all that God had promised. And when you're having your moment that we all do, our woe is me, self-pity moment, lift your eyes and look at what God has done and the promise he wants to remind you of. We pursue the promise God has for us, and church, he makes it happen. We cannot make it happen on our own. And praise God that he's going to do it. Take our eyes off of what we think we want because God is bringing us to everything we actually need. Lot had his eyes set on the here and now, a place for his family to relax and enjoy. While God had intended for Abram a place for his family not just to relax and enjoy, but to spread out and become an entire nation. Lot chose for himself a green place, but God intended for Abram to become a nation. Don't settle for a green moment when God wants to place in you a nation. A promise like that. It's so much bigger than what we would choose for ourselves. That is what God has in store for you. Realize what God has for you is so much bigger and so much better than you would choose for yourself. Abram inherits a promise of not just a national land, but blessing on all of his descendants forever. That is what I want to leave my children. A blessing forever. I might not be able to leave them a lot physically, but I want to leave them such an impact on my family that every generation until the Lord comes back follows and belongs to the Lord. In verse 17, it says, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Church, search out the promises of God. There's a lot of them in his word that are meant for you. And like this scripture is saying, arise, we need as a church, as individuals, as families, to rise up and take them. To know that God not just promises, they're not empty promises, They are factual promises. What I mean by that is they cannot not be true. If you follow God, it is a sure fact that these will happen. Remember his goodness and his kindness and his plans that are higher than ours. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God has such good things in store for you. Make sure you're chasing after what really matters. Verse 18 says this: Abram moved his tent and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. He came to an oak grove. That's what that means. And it was a place of shade, a place of shelter, provision, and strength. Church, God will take you and steady you in a place where your needs are met. He is your shade, your shelter, your provision, and your strength. It is there when you choose to chase after God and his promises more than anything else that you build an altar for generations to come. You put your life down to take up his. You worship him, establishing the promises for the next generation. And as the worship team comes, I'm going to ask us all to stand if we can across this place. Where we set up our tents matter. Where we travel through life, how we travel through life matters. Where we choose to dwell and build an altar like Abram did among the trees matters. If you're here today and the Lord is impressing on you to rip up some of the foundations that you might have laid in the desire to be ready to pursue God, I'm going to ask you to come and do that this morning. Or if you are in a place that you have a lot of conflict around you, maybe that you've caused, or maybe that you need to solve, and you need to give that to the Lord this morning, I'm going to ask you to come and give it. Or if you have taken your eyes off of the things that you have or should be focused on, and you want to set them back on the promises of God as your first love, your first desire, then come. And if you want to set your generations to come into the promises of God, and you want to make that statement right now that not only for me and my house will serve the Lord, but for me and I pray every generation following me will serve the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come and make that declaration this morning. And it's not just a moment, it's a lifestyle and a life choice. So I'm going to ask you to come as the worship team starts playing for any of those and for any other need. If you need healing, we believe in healing. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we believe and we will ask and ask and ask until God moves, because he promises he will. If you want to come and pray this morning, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward as well. And let's all begin to worship like Abram did, setting our eyes and lifting them up onto the promises of God and into his presence. Amen.